Topic 4.16 is to discuss the process and importance of critical evaluation of new data by the scientific community, which leads to new taxonomic groupings, i.e. three domains based on molecular phylogeny. Well, the way the scientific community works is fairly well organised, actually. If you take part in research, if you carry out some research, then often the first thing you'll do is to present your initial findings at a conference for people in your specialist subject. For example, I have presented research at the Society of Vertebrate Paleontology. This is an ideal opportunity to present your unpublished data and get some constructive feedback. This is often done over a drink in the evening after your presentation. People who want to talk to you about their research will come and find you. You may want to ask a particular member of the community what they thought and have they got any ideas. Everyone's often very keen to suggest new ideas, or sometimes a little less civilly to disagree with you. Once you've done that, usually the next stage, or you can jump straight to this stage, is to publish your findings in an academic journal. Now, an academic journal is one that has peer review associated with it. There are journals referred to as grey literature, where they're not subjected to really big peer review. And you know, if you submit to one of the regular high impact journals, though, then you will often suggest people who are in your field who may be good to review your work. You can suggest people that you don't want to review your work, and the editor might ask them anyway because they want to get what they think is going to be a dissenting view. If someone you know hates your guts gives you a good review, then you've probably got a decent paper. So the work will be sent to fellow academics who may then run the data themselves. They may put the data into their own statistical tests and see if they reach the same conclusions. They may point out there are gaps in the research. It's meant to be fairly formative, to improve the research, to make it watertight. And then if there are reviews suggested, then the editor of the journal will send it back to the authors for revision. It will then be resubmitted, and then if all okay, it will be published. So you can usually be fairly trusting of scientific journal articles, although people who are in the field will be able to distinguish between the really good stuff and the not so good stuff. But you shouldn't take newspaper articles, blog posts, things like that as necessarily being gospel, unless you're able to cross-reference them yourself. And that's an important part of the scientific discipline. Sometimes scientists disagree with each other. And for a while, you've looked at the three domains of life, the eukaryota, the prokaryotes, which include the bacteria, and the archaea. You've got to remember those three: archaea, bacteria, eukaryota. For a while, it was felt that since the bacteria and the archaea were small, single-celled, tiny, primitive organisms, that they were more closely related to each other than either was to the eukaryotes. Now, this was done pretty much on the basis of morphology, the shape, the structures in common, okay? And they created a morphological phylogeny, a phylogeny being effectively a family tree based on the shared ancestry of different organisms, and more on molecular phylogenies next year. And we show these relationships using a cladogram or a tree. So archaea and bacteria had been put branching off from each other before the eukaryotes branched off. Molecular phylogenies, looking at the proteins, looking at the amino acids, looking at some of the DNA, has actually now shown that the archaea are most closely related to the eukaryotes. Some of this may be down to endosymbiosis, the idea that the chloroplasts and the mitochondria are endosymb organelles that used to be independent. But this has now reached a scientific consensus on the domains of life, and we accept this as the best